This is Digital Story Podcast number 891, April 18th, 2023. Today's theme is, Are You Nuts? Buying a monochrome only camera. I'm Derek Story. I would imagine that most people's first reaction to the just announced Pentax K3 Mark III monochrome DSLR would be, who would buy that? In fact, I may have uttered the very same thing. But after a little research on the idea, now I'm not so sure. Find out why and lots more on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. Okay, so let the craziness begin, right? So let me tell you a little bit about this camera, what my thinking is, monochrome photography, in general, all that stuff for our first story today. The Pentax K3 Mark III monochrome is a variant of its highly regarded 25.7 megapixel APS-C DSLR, but with no color array. Okay, so no color filter array. It is a monochrome. And there are siblings out there, or distant cousins, I should say, but we'll get into this one first. So what happens without the color filter array? Well, according to Pentax, typical color image sensors are designed to receive light passing through red, green, and blue color filters, otherwise known as RGB. So each pixel detects only one color data component. To compose a monochrome image, color sensors must convert the color data into monochromatic data by interpolating the color data they collect. Now, the new monochrome-specific image sensor, however, can faithfully reflect the brightness data obtained by each pixel in the image without any interpolation, to produce extra fine monochromatic expression in images high in resolution and rich in gradation. Plus, there's no AA, anti-aliasing, filter either. Okay, so that's kind of the difference. You're sort of eliminating a couple steps and just getting right to the black and white. Now, with this Pentax model that was just announced, the changes just weren't on the inside either. The Pentax K3 monochrome provides a white backlight illumination on the LCD data panel positioned on the upper panel while featuring the word monochrome lettering printed on the upper left shoulder of the back panel. And it looks cool. And they did all this very nicely. Its menu screen features black and white visual scheme as default, while the shake reduction badge is finished in silver. Those of you that know Pentax cameras, they usually do that in gold. That just would not work on this camera. The badge is finished in silver. The icons printed on the buttons and switches across the camera's exterior are finished in three shades of gray. Right? Three shades of gray. Oh my, how tasteful. All in all, the concept of monochrome photography is evident throughout the camera body. Plus, since white balance isn't an issue with this camera, the white balance button on the Pentax K3 monochrome is replaced with a function button, FX button, and so now you have an extra function button as well. All right, so on the inside and on the outside, a lot of monochromey things going on. Still not suede? Fair enough. Let's dig a little deeper here. There aren't very many monochrome cameras on the market. Leica has one, which I'm going to talk about in a second. Phase One has one. And there's probably some minor brands out there that have some sort of offering as well. And with both Leica and Phase One, they cost a lot more than the Pentax. Alrighty, let's talk about Leica for a second. They're just getting ready to release the M11 monochrome rangefinder camera, all right? And by the way, they spell monochrome without an E on the end. So it's monochrome. I guess you have to say it a certain way. And what's interesting about the M11 monochrome is that it is, I believe, the fourth edition of this line, of the monochrome line. So this is far from a one and done thing, right? I mean, this is like they keep doing this. They keep doing this. And they would not keep doing this if people were not buying the camera, right? I mean, Leica is a pretty smart company. If Leica is releasing its fourth version of a monochrome only camera, what's going on here? So then I continued to dig even deeper, all right? And so then I'm thinking about the Pentax now. I watched some reviews. I went to the Ricoh page. I did all that kind of stuff. And then even put on my own tinfoil thinking cap here. I realized five things that weren't initially apparent to me when I heard about the release of this camera. The first one is the Pentax K3 monochrome. It's like the total embodiment of black and white. It's not just the sensor, but the entire camera oozes monochrome goodness. From its stealthy body design, and it is stealthy, great for street shooting, by the way. Its custom black and white settings, and then the heart of the camera itself. It's a total black and white experience. The exterior is this black, kind of a matte finish. And then Pentax is not in white. You know, the brand is like in this dark gray. All the buttons are various shades of gray. It's got the monochrome lettering on the back. When you look at the LCD, the image on the LCD, obviously it's going to be a black and white image. The menu design, black and white oriented. I mean, the whole thing is just like a black and white camera. And so it's not just that the sensor is monochrome only, it's that it's a total experience. And it's the same thing, by the way, with the Leica too, okay? They're not thinking that, okay, we're just going to pick up a camera and take out the color filter array and off to the races we go. No, they're thinking, both Leica and Pentax are thinking much deeper than that. The second thing, the Pentax is compatible with every vintage Pentax lens. Sure, you can use your modern Pentax AF lenses on there, on the monochrome, K3 monochrome. And I have a couple that I just love. I've talked about them in the past, especially my primes. But you can also use, like, for example, the Pentax M 50mm f2 will work just as well on this camera. And so now you're not just shooting in monochrome with specific monochrome settings, but now you can put vintage lenses on there to further stylize your capture. And part of the reason why this works so well with the Pentax camera is because of the way they designed the shake reduction system. It's sensor-based, and it doesn't rely on any lenses, right? So you can put any lens on there, and the shake reduction works. So you think about this, that you could take any of your favorite vintage Pentax lenses, or just go on eBay and grab a couple for cheap, and then use them with the monochrome camera. And now you're getting, you know, into the days of, you know, Tri-X and Ilford and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Compatible with every vintage Pentax lens. The third thing is that it is affordable by comparison. Let's go back to the Leica M11 monochrome. It was just released for $9,195. And we all know how much Leica lenses sell for. They sell for a lot more than a Pentax 50mm f2 on eBay. Let me just put it that way. Now, the Pentax monochrome will be released later this month for $2,199. So if you've always been thinking about how would it be to have a monochrome but just did not want to spend the bucks for the Leica, you can get this one. Well, you could get four of these for the price of one Leica M11 monochrome. All right, different cameras, but again, anyone who's worked with a modern Pentax camera knows that they're solid, they're well-built, they're weather-resistant, you know, all those sort of things. You're getting a real machine just for a lot less money. The fourth thing is that because of the way that the sensor's set up, you do get better low light performance with no color noise. So the monochrome sensor provides an additional stop of sensitivity. It has better capture sharpness. And it has less noise. And the noise, if you do really push it, the noise that you are going to get is luminance noise, which basically looks like grain anyway, which works very well with black and white photography. So you're eliminating a lot of headache, not to mention you're eliminating the whole color problem in mixed light situations and all that stuff. And then the fifth thing is, really, for those who want this, no post-processing is required, right? Think about it. So you just grab your yellow filter, your red filter, you know, black and white filters, put your favorite vintage lens on this camera, go out and shoot, customize the settings on the camera itself for the kind of black and white image that you want, and then you're done. It has Bluetooth, it has Wi-Fi. You don't even have to use a computer if you don't want. Just send them to your tablet or your iPhone and off to the races you go. So for those who really want the pure photography experience, kind of hearkening back to the film days, where you are using vintage manual focus lenses, if you want. You have a camera that feels very traditional in that sense. And you don't have to fool around with any software applications if you don't want to, because the images that come out, they're going to be sharp, right? They're going to have great gradation, and they're going to be ready to go. Now, you could shoot raw, of course, and put it in the Lightroom and do your thing, and a lot of people will, or put it into SilverFX Pro or any of that kind of stuff. Of course, you can do all of that stuff. But if you don't want to, you don't have to, right? You just take them right out of the camera and off to the races you go. Am I saying to you that you should check your credit card balance and buy the Pentax K3 monochrome? No, I'm not. It is a specialty camera for a niche audience. But what I am saying here is that I'm thrilled that Pentax continues to explore all aspects of photography and deliver tools for those who want this kind of experience. I'm very much hoping to get my hands on one, and my only hope is that I'll be able to let go of it once I do. Menke's new 85mm f1.4 will be the first third-party autofocus lens for Canon RF. And you can read this entire article on petapixel.com. I have the link in the show notes. So they've announced a new 85 f1.4 autofocus lens for Sony E, Nikon Z, Leica L, and, surprisingly, Canon RF mounts. If this stands, Menke will be the first third-party manufacturer to come to the market with an autofocus-equipped lens for Canon's mirrorless mount. We've talked about this in the past, how Canon likes to put the kibosh on these sort of endeavors. While they're not the first third-party camera lens manufacturer to make an autofocus-equipped Canon RF lens, if things stands, it'll be the first to actually successfully sell it. For example, Rokinon, also known as Samyang, tried to release a 14mm f2.8 autofocus lens for Canon RF, and Viltrox attempted to sell several autofocus lenses that would mount to Canon's mirrorless cameras, but both of those companies quickly heard from Canon's lawyers and ceased production. Last September, Canon confirmed that it was pursuing legal action against manufacturers that were producing autofocus lenses for its RF mount. It's not clear if anyone who actually purchased any of these lenses received them, and until now, no third-party manufacturer has tried to produce another since Canon's legal department is particularly aggressive. The company has repeatedly shown that outside of cameras in its printing department as well. The only third-party RF lens to get the official nod from Canon is the Cosina 50mm f1 spherical, which is notably not an autofocus lens. In addition to the RF mount, Mikey intends to make the stepping motor driven autofocus lens available for Sony E, Nikon Z, and Leica L mounts, though the company humorously refers to it as the Panasonic L mount. That's a very dry sense of humor, I will say. At the time of publication, Mikey had not determined a final price or the release date. The lens is currently on display at the NAB show in Las Vegas. It remains to be seen if Canon will allow them to actually produce the RF mount version of the lens. Stay tuned for this. I'm very curious about this because, you know, a world without third-party lenses. I mean, really? Honestly? I mean, Canon lenses are fantastic. They're great lenses, but there's so many cool things happening out there with the independent lens manufacturers that if you have this fantastic Canon body, why not be able to play with some different lenses on it? Do we have to be so serious all the time, you know, with the Canon lenses? I hope not. Well, anyway, we will see. If there are any more kerfuffles around this issue, I'll make sure I report on it. Cross your fingers that this one actually goes through without legal department ramifications. This week on Live View. So Live View is a publication that I have started on Medium.com. I'm the editor for it. And, you know, what's different about this publication compared to a lot of stuff that you will read on Medium or anywhere else is that we have an entire vetting process for our authors. We have a brainstorming process. We have a vetting process. You know, they're not just like slapping something up on Medium.com and it goes into Live View and that's the end of it. First of all, we created a space for Live View writers on Derek Story Online. So where we have our workshop spaces, where we have our inner circle space, we also have a space just for Live View writers. And here's where we work out the topics for each month. We talk about them, you know, we kind of get things coordinated. We do some brainstorming and then they put drafts up there. And not only do I take a look at the drafts, but the other writers take a look at the drafts. They ask questions, they point things out. And then after all that feedback has happened, then the writer puts together a second version or a third version of the article. And then that draft goes to me in Live View. I review it one more time. I set the schedule for the month and I try to pair interesting articles together. And then it goes live on Tuesday. So this is a whole process. I really only have one rule for the writers in addition to, well, write well. And that is write what you're truly passionate about. I don't assign topics. I want people to write about the things that they're excited about. And we have a very talented group of writers. The next three articles that will be new, if you haven't been there in a week, they're really terrific. So the first one is by Ben Long, who is now writing for Live View. And you may know Ben from his training on LinkedIn Learning. You may know Ben from the work that we've done together. He's been on this podcast. You may know Ben from all the photography books he's written and everything else. I mean, Ben is a terrific writer, really smart guy, and he's now writing for us as well. And his first article on Live View is titled, "This Imaging Revolution Will Be Different Than the Last One." And yes, he's talking about artificial intelligence. It's a terrific article. It's very illuminating, and there's a lot of hope in there too, right? It's not just doom and gloom. So that's there. Then we have an article by Jim Kuzman, who is an Inner Circle member and a professional writer himself, called "A Day Later, A Dollar Wiser." And Jim has a very clever way to continue to get the photography equipment that he likes and wants, but at a price he can afford. And it's a pretty cool system. And that article is up. And then our third article is by Michael Bryant, who's also an Inner Circle member, No skies were harmed in the making of my photographs. And yes, Michael is talking about sky substitution and his thoughts on it. These three pieces, all three vetted quality pieces, are waiting for you on liveviewmedium.com/live-view. I hope you come over and take a look. And if you do like what you see, please follow the publication. And then that way you'll be notified whenever new things go up. Incredible handheld 30-second exposures with an iPhone app. And you can read this entire article on fstoppers.com. From the creators of Re-Expose comes Re-Held. It apparently uses AI stabilization, something we are all very aware of at the moment, to create stunning handheld images. This is ideal for when you don't have your camera kit with you, missing your tripod. Don't worry, this app will give you up to 30 seconds of exposure, blending the correct parts together. Now, I'm not a landscape photography as such, but there are times when I'm out and about and would like to take pictures, but just don't have my camera with me. This could be the answer. This app comes to us from the same people who did Spectra, which I talked about, it's been quite a while now. It was a very good first attempt, but a lot of things have changed since then. And now we have Re-Held, all right? So anyway, it's spelled R-E-E-H-E-L-D. And if you're interested, you can get it in the App Store. And I think it's pretty interesting. I'm going to check it out myself. I just read about it today and wanted to share it with you. Before I take care of a little virtual camera club news, let's start out by thanking our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support this community in this podcast month in and month out. They are having a particularly good time right now because the theme for our photo challenge this month on the Inner Circle space is your favorite sky. So you can imagine if you throw that challenge out to a bunch of photographers who are experienced and have been shooting for a long time, that they are going to have some really cool shots to share and some really good stories to go with them. And we have both. And it's just, I'm having a blast reading the stories, seeing the photographs, and then watching other people comment on the stories as well. And that's just part of this interaction that this group has. People are throwing questions out there. You know, they discover something new and they go, what do you think about this? You know, all that kind of stuff. If you want to be a part of this, all you have to do is go to the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Click on it. That's where you sign up. That's the official, you know, where we take care of business. And then you'll be invited over to the Inner Circle space. And that's where the hangout is. That's where the activity is. And a big thanks to all of our Inner Circle members. I truly appreciate each and every one of you. The Nimble Photographer newsletter comes out every Thursday, and it is free, free, free. All you have to do to get it is just sign up for it, and you can do that on the Digital Story page. We have newsletter up in the top nav bar. On the nimblephotographer.com, it's up at the top there. I mean, really, it's super easy. It's a fun newsletter. The audience is growing at a nice clip. I enjoy doing it, and it gives me a chance to talk about things that may have happened in between when I record the podcast and before the next one happens, right? So it's kind of one of those things. Again, the Nimble Photographer newsletter published every Thursday, and it's free. And finally, I want to give a shout out to our good friends over at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. And I've been thinking about them. Well, it seems like I think about them a lot, but we're starting our black and white workshop actually tomorrow, Wednesday, the next iteration of it. And I was able to add a black and white printing module to the workshop. I'm very excited about that. And that whole thing came about through the help of Red River Paper by recommending someone that is an expert in this area, teaching us about this and presenting us with the information and some great ideas. And it all just came together, not only for our printing workshop But also now I'm going to carry that over into our black and white workshop as well. This is what happens when you have the support of a really cool sponsor who's really engaged and loves photography. They're not just in it, you know, as a business. They're in it because they're also passionate about what they do. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story, and they have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. A huge thanks to them for supporting this community. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I'm so glad you joined me. I had a great time in Maui, and now I'm happy to be back as well, working on some more stuff for next week. Until next Tuesday, get out there, take some pictures, have some fun. See you next week. Bye-bye.